Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Thank you for calling in, for dialing in today. Sometimes when we learn anything, anything in Chumash or anything in Hashkafa or Halacha, sometimes it's a topic with sometimes a limited application. It's just a nice idea in and of itself. And other times, the ideas that either we would share or anybody would share in any shiur, it's something that is much more global. It applies to many different situations. There might be a lot of historical background to it, a lot of philosophical intrigue to it. So the topic we're going to do today is in that latter category, something where there's been a sort of a debate and a discussion about this topic for many, many hundreds of years. And I warn you that what we're going to see today is just sort of like the very, very tip of the iceberg. You know, that you can take an entire college class on this topic. We're just going to try to mention a couple key positions in the course of the next, 15, 20 minutes or so. Okay, so let's get onto a screen. So the topic of this shiur is you, your son, and the clash of the titans. Now, you may be wondering, like, what in the world could this be speaking about? So we won't keep you guessing. We're just going to jump right into to this year. Okay? So, of course, in Parashas Emor, which is this week, says, V'shur oseh, oso v'yes b'no, lo sishchatu b'yom echad. So we know that a shur, whether it's oxen or sheep, oso v'yes b'no, lo sishchatu b'yom echad. You can't kill them on the same day. You're not allowed to slaughter them on the same day. Now, before we move on, anybody have any questions or points of clarification on this pasuk? The points of
you weren't allowed to slaughter a mother and their kid in the same day, but you could do the male.
Right. Right. So it's actually machlokas rishonim. What most rishonim assume is that it cannot be the mother and the child. The father and the child might be different. And Hadassah, I think you and everyone sort of listening in, I think would be fascinated to sort of see the explanation of the Rambam, which would then make that halacha of it's the emubno. It's the mother and the child. Makes it very sort of specific, and there's a certain psychology behind that. There's an interesting question which the Ramban poses, which we're not going to have time to see. Is there an issue about the ordering of this prohibition? You know, namely, let's say if you kill the mother first before the child, is that also a problem? And the answer is absolutely yes, right? It does make a difference who it is that you decide to slaughter first. There's an isser either way. And that halacha ends up coming into play in some of the hashkafic issues as well. Okay, so why don't we jump into the first position of the Rishonim that we're going to see. And of course, that's the Rambam in Mordavuchim, Chelek Gimel Perek Memches. For those of you who joined us, okay, I'm just going to mute that wonderful God's creation back there. For those of you who joined us last week in our discussion about Orla, so this might be somewhat familiar because it's also at the end of the Chelek Gimel. The Rambam in the last 20, 25 Perakim, at the end of the third section, the Mor Nevuchim goes through all of his Tamei Mitzvot. That's where like all the Tamei Mitzvot can be found. Okay, and take a listen to what the Rambam says. So I'm going to ask people again to maybe give any comments or thoughts or feelings about the Rambam. It's also prohibited to kill an animal with its young on the same day. This is, of course, our Pasuk. Vayikra Chavbeis Chavches. In order that people should be restrained and prevented from killing the two together in such a manner that the young is slain in the sight of the mother. For the pain of the animals under such circumstances is very great. There is no difference in this case between the pain of man and the pain of other living beings, since the love and tenderness of the mother for her young ones is not produced by reasoning, which of course is in the realm of humans, but by imagination. And this faculty exists not only in man, but in most living beings. This law applies only to oxen, to lamb, because domestic animals, etc., etc. So the reason for the Rambam, just make this very clear, is because of rachmanus we're supposed to have for the animals, in the same way that a human mother cannot bear to watch her child be injured, let alone killed. The Rambam says that there's really no difference between man and the animal world, and therefore, out of a sense of rachmanus for the animals, so the Torah instituted this law. Now, I'm going to unmute people. Any thoughts, feelings, problems, issues, positive thoughts about this Rambam? Okay, so one just sort of, I wouldn't say it's minor, but the Ramban, referencing the halacha we just said, the Ramban said that if this were to be the case, that the Rambam was right, it should only apply that a mother can't watch her offspring get killed in front of her, you know, should it exist in the reverse order as well. So that is a comment the Ramban makes about the Rambam. But again, you can sort of argue about that or quibble about that either way. But the major issue, and this is where the Rambam, and this is where the conversation becomes very, very complicated, is mentioned in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lam Gimel Amud Beis. And the Rambam references this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer al kansipur yagiu rachamecha. The person who, while they're davening, they say that your rachmanus should extend to the Khan Sipur, meaning that the reason that we do Shiluch HaKan is because of rachmanus, that the mitzvah is because of Kosh Baruch Hu, your rachmanus, or the person who says, V'altov yizacher shmecha, that we should only remember your name when good things take place, or the person who's davening and he says, Modim, Modim. He says Modim twice, Mishatkino. So we kick that guy off of the bima, we grab him, we assume that the person is a kofer, we assume the person is a heretic. For these three things, the Shalich Tzibur gets evicted from his job. Okay? So the Gemara goes on, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara goes on to say, Al Kan Tzibur Yagiyu Rechamecha. What in the world could be wrong with saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason for your mitzvos is so that your mercy extends to all living creatures? So my time, what's the reason? What's wrong with that? Why is that Shalich Tzibur get sort of tossed out? So Pligi Batrei Amorai B'Marava. Two of the Amorayim B'Marava in the West, namely in Israel, they debate this. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Okay, so the first answer is Chad Amar B'Pnei Shemetil Kina B'Masa Bereshis. Now, it's hard to know exactly what to make of this answer. Namely, that the animals are going to get jealous, right? If you say that God's mercy extends to the bird, but not to the beaver, or the bird, but not to the camel, so then, you know, meto kin of a masibracious. Again, there's sort of a nice point in sensitivity, but it's not an answer that gets to sort of the root of the fundamental issue of what's happening. So the second answer is much more fundamental. And this is an absolutely critical point. Let's say that again. The other opinion says, we are essentially saying that God's behavior is there for rachamim, for the purpose of mercy. Okay, v'einon el gzeiros. But we're supposed to have the mentality that the halacha is the halacha. You do the halacha because God was gozer onto us to do kan sipur, to do shaliach hakan. Not because, well, the reason for God's mitzvah must be for mercy and that's why I'm doing it. No, the mentality has to be, I am following this mitzvah because this is God's gzeirah, and I'm not going to dive into the Tamei HaMitzvos, the reason behind them. So when the person gets up and says that you should have mercy on us, in the way that you had the mercy on the bird, he's implying the reason we do God's mitzvah is for mercy of the bird. The reason that we do any mitzvah is because of the ta'am, because of the reason behind that mitzvah. And the Gemara seems to be saying, we don't do the mitzvahs because of the ta'amim, because of the reasons. We do them because this is God's gzeira. Okay, now there's a lot to sort of unpack in this Gemara, because this Gemara is the major mar makom about the issue of ta'ami ha-mitzvos, motivations and mitzvos, etc., etc. Now, does anybody either A, want to comment on that Gemara, they want to clarify that Gemara? So just to bring things back to the Rambam, the Rambam's idea would run into conflict with this Gemara, because the Rambam is saying, again, that the reason for doing the mitzvah is because of the rachmanis we should have on the bird. And the Gemara is saying is the reason we do the mitzvah is because it's a gzeira, because it's a mitzvah, okay? And not to try to find sort of deeper motivations for doing those mitzvahs. Anybody either want that clarified? Because that's a very complicated idea.
Yeah, you want to try to do that again?
What's that?
You just repeat it.
So the Gemara says, thank you, Mark. The Gemara says that the reason that we do the mitzvah is because it's God's gzeira. It's not that, okay, I'm going to do Shiluch HaKan because it's merciful for the bird. Rather, the reason is that God told me I have to go ahead and send away the mother bird. I'm going to send away the mother bird. I'm not going to get into sort of humanistic reasons for the mitzvos. And therefore, this Gemara runs into or bumps into the Rambam. The Rambam says, why do we do the mitzvah? We do the mitzvah for rachmanis for the animal. Where perhaps the person would say, no. Don't say it's for rachmanis for the animal. It's because God told us we have to do it. Don't try to sort of find these like humanistic reasons in every mitzvah. So therefore, this Gemara would seem to cause a problem for anybody that wants to find a ta'am for every mitzvah that we do. Does everyone understand that?
I'm okay with it being a gezeira, because if I have to think about that it's a humanistic reason, I can't understand that, actually. I think that it's just quite the contrary. You're sending the mother away, that's inhumane,
right,
behavior.
Right.
So, like, to me, that reason...
It resonates.
It doesn't resonate.
Meaning the Gemara resonates, in other words. Yeah. And to Hadassah's point, which was an excellent point, is that if you sort of take, which is what we mentioned last week about Orla, if you take sort of like a Tamei HaMitzvos approach to every mitzvah, what happens when you then say, well, I'm very uncomfortable with the reason behind it, right? Or if you say, well, the reason behind it doesn't apply anymore. If you say it's God's Gzeira, there's like a Chachmas Elyon, so then, okay, there's a Chachmas Elyon, there's an upper wisdom. But once we sort of lead with the Tam, so to speak, so then you run into problems, okay? So the Ramban mentions all of this. I'm putting people back on mute. The Ramban mentions all of this. And then the Ramban says something which, in a way, seems similar to the Rambam, but actually is very, very different, okay? He says, Aval Tam Hamaniya, this is the Ramban by Shiluch HaKan. The reason that you can't, that you're supposed to shaluch hakan, the reason you're not supposed to kill the mother and the child, lelamed osanu midas harachmanus v'shalon nisachzer, and so we don't become cruel, right? And I'm going to read through the Ramban, and then tell me where you think the distinction is between the Ramban and the Rambam. Ki ha'achzarios tispashet b'nefesh ha'adam, because achzarios, cruelty, is something that can become almost like ubiquitous in a person. Ki adu b'tabachim, like we know when it comes to butchers. Shochte ha'shorim, a person becomes a butcher, so even though he's not doing anything wrong, but his whole profession has the, there's like the risk of him becoming a somewhat crude and cruel person, right? Shehem anche damim, these people then become maybe a little bloodthirsty. Zov v'chei adam, become people that mistreat other humans. Achzarim mi'od, They become very cruel. Even the best of the butchers, and again, you know, this has to be taken with a grain of salt, are like partners with a malek. We're not doing the mitzvah, or we're not abstaining because we want to have rachmanis on the animals. Elegzeros banu, rather, it's for the human being. They're gzeros. Lahadrichenu, to teach us, to direct us. Ulalamed osanu hamidos hatovos, to teach us good midos. V'chein yikru heim kol mitzvah shebetorah aseva lo tasei gezeros. And that's sort of going back to language in the Gemara and Brachos. Everything is a gezera. Everything is there, not because we're worried necessarily about the world, not because we're worried about the mother bird, but everything is a gezera from God, that in God's wisdom, he says, this is developing the right character traits in man. This is developing rachmanos, this is developing patience, this is developing whatever the mitzvah is. They're all there to be focused on the human being, as opposed to the focus being on something in the universe. The Torah is focused on man. The Torah is not focused on do this because there's more rachmanos for an animal. Okay? Now, I'm muting people for a second. Anybody have any thoughts? Anybody feels that there's not a real difference between the two? Anybody needs a clarification?
You know, there's a tremendous difference between the two. The Ramban has Rachmanis on the animal. Ramban says, no, the Rachmanis is to teach us Rachmanis. And I think the ideal would be to combine the two because there's benefits to both.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll put it this way. I don't think the Ramban is saying that rachmanis for an animal is wrong. I mean, it's absolutely right, you know.
No, but he's saying it's not the issue.
But that's not the mechayev. That's not the issue. Exactly right. That's not the driving force of mitzvos. So, you know, you would almost sort of like characterize it, if you want to sort of be like a lamdin, so thinking back to like yeshiva word, you know, to like, times that people, a person spent in yeshiva, like the Ramban is very much focused on the gavra. Every mitzvah is about how are we mitakein, how do we sort of change ourselves, as opposed to sort of like thinking about the world. And the Rambam often is viewing the Torah as like a guide to tikkun of the world itself, as opposed to tikkun of the nefesh. Okay? So in a way, they both agree with the idea that there's reasoning behind mitzvos. But for the Rambam, that's often very rational, it's very scientific, where the Ramban would say, well, we don't always know the reason, but we have confidence that every mitzvah is there to transform us and to work on us, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Is that somewhat clear? So I want to just quickly, it's already 12:20, I want to go through a few very relevant Ma'amar Makomos, okay? So one of them is the famous, famous Medrash Rabban Breishis, which this Ramban and every Ma'amar Makom is based on. So Rav Amar, lo nitnu ha-mitzvos el tzareif bahen ha-sabrios. The reason that God gave the mitzvos is not to help the fish or help the animals, but litzareif bahen ha-sabrios. Now, what does the word litzareif mean? Everyone, is that a familiar word to people? So the person... if you sort of think about, I don't know if Joel or Beth is on the phone. I think, Beth, is that you? So you think about the beautiful slicha that we say, what am I thinking of? Anybody know? On the evening of Kol Nidre, right? Hine hakesef biyad hamitzoreif, right? The mitzoreif is the person who is the refiner of silver. So when the Medrash says, Lo nitnu ha-mitzvos el tzareif bahen ha-sabrios, the mitzvos are there to like self-refine. They're there for the person. V'chima ichbos leila kodesh baruch hu. Why does God care? L'mi she-shochet min ha-tzavar, mi ha-shochet min ha-oref. Like where, which part of the neck, you know, you do shechita from. Have lo nitnu ha-mitzvos el tzareif bahen ha-sabrios. Do you know why it makes a difference? It doesn't make a difference because of the animal. It doesn't make a difference for any rational reason. But it, for whatever reason, there's more refinement that is produced by us slaughtering from one part of the neck versus the other. It's all about our cultivation and our refinement, okay? And it's based on this idea, is what the Ramban said. It's a beautiful, beautiful medrash. Take a look at the Rashbam. Losev eshel gedi b'chalev imo. So derech ha'izim laledesh negedim yachad. That's the way of animals to give birth to two gedim. At the same time, urgilim hayu lishkot echad mehem. This is not exactly for the faint of heart. They would do shchita one of the animals. Umitok sharov chelav beizim or chalav beizim, and there was so much milk. The mother gave so much milk that they used to cook then the child. Kedichsiv, etc., etc. That just used to be what happened. Viganaihu, the Rashbam says viganaihu adavar. It's disgusting for us to do such a thing. Ublia. What's ublia? What's blia? It's blia'al. It's like, it's uncouth. What's the best word for blia? It's cruel. It's just v'ra'av tanut. That's like a very modern Hebrew word, but it's written by the Rashbam. It shows almost like our ra'av tanut. It's like, anybody have a good translation for the word ra'av tanut? I'm struggling a little bit. It's like giving way to our unbridled appetites by taking the child, dumping the child in milk. Lechol chalav ha'emim abanim. It's just right. Duvedugmazu, and the Rashbam says biosove espino. It's like the same thing. It just develops bad character traits in us. It's not about the gedi. It's about us. Okay, v'espino v'shiluch hakan. Same thing as well. Okay, l'lamdecha derech tarbut tziva kosov. This is teaching us just basic derech eretz, and that's the reason behind so many of these mitzvos. I want to show you before we wrap up. The two more. Can everyone stay on for another like 5 minutes? Is that okay? Anybody have a problem with that? If someone has to go, someone feel free to do so. I want to share with you just what I thought were two beautiful Meir Makomos on this topic. One of which relates exactly to this point. This is the... I actually took this from the Chama Leibovich. She's quoting one of the famous Middle Ages philosophers. Philosophers of the Middle Ages, Yosef Ibn Kaspi. Somebody that perhaps maybe you have not heard of. He was a fascinating, fascinating person. Someone who would never exist nowadays. You know, he was a real product of like the 14th century, rejected by many people, had many controversial opinions. He basically spent his life traveling around the world looking for people to teach him Mor Nevuchim, the guide to perplex. I mean, just like a fascinating person. So he quotes the opinion of the Ramban that the reason for this mitzvah is to refine our character. And then he says something which has like a very sort of modern sound to it. So in my opinion, however, there's also another idea embodied in this commandment. Our perfect Torah wishes to impart to us exhaustive existential knowledge to the limits of our capacity. Thus, this precept has two aims. To make us realize the high level of our being, right? And that's why, i.e., to refine our character. And at the same time, protect us from haughtiness and pride. The universe consists of the mineral, vegetable, animal, and human world. Most people lack understanding of this fact. There seems little or no relation between us and the animal world, not even as much as we have with the vegetable world and the land. Namely, it sensitizes us to sort of a certain sense of humility, of our place in the universe, the fact that there's other living beings in the universe. It's supposed to create a certain sort of synthesis, so to speak, with the natural world, which I think is just a very, very beautiful idea. I'm not sure, and maybe you can tell me what you think. People, are, I believe, off of mute, so feel free to contribute. If this is something that is focused enough in yeshivas, right? Probably, if you go to a place like SAR, this is something that would be championed. It's sort of like a certain sensitivity towards the environment, the animal world, etc. But this is coming from a Rishon, right? And we see these ideas in the Rishonim all the time about sort of the sensitivity about our relationship with the world around us, and that's what animates this halacha. So just to quickly go through the three opinions. According to the Rambam, the reason is rachmanus for the animals themselves. It's the focus on the animals. The Ramban said that it's to develop character traits within us. That's the opinion of the Rashbam as well. And this opinion of Yosef ibn Kaspi is not so much that it develops us, but it creates a sort of a more of like a gentle universe where human beings don't see themselves as being like these, you know, supermen, but they're more sensitive to the vegetable, animal, and mineral world around them. Okay, I think it's a very, very beautiful idea. I wanted to share with you one last Mar Makom on the same topic, but in a very, very different type of way. Okay, I hope people can see this. It gets a little bit dicey sometimes trying to take pictures of Svart. So, you know, it doesn't always come out totally properly. Okay, so this is taken from one of my favorite Svarim, called the Oznaim LaTorah, which is written by the great Telzer Rosh Yeshiva Rav Zalman Sarutskin. And he writes the following. And again, if you want to buy like a really nice set of Sfarim and Chumash, I highly recommend this. The Hebrew is not particularly hard, but it also comes in an English version as well. And we also have it in the shul, of course. He says, Osovi Espino Lo Sishkatu B'Yom Aleph. You should not slaughter the mother and the child on the same day. Now, which word, now that you're sort of taking a look at just these words of the Pasuk, which word seems to be conjugated incorrectly? Shouldn't it be Osovi Espino? You might want to chime in. Lo sishchat b'yom echad. You should not kill. I mean, they're your animals. You shouldn't kill both of them on the same day. So he says, lo sishchat lo nemar. Doesn't say that you, singular, should not kill. Ela lo sishchatu, that you collectively should not kill. So this teaches a real chiddush. Melam mechim shachat ruuvein esa'ein. Ruvain has the mother. He slaughters the mother. V'achar kach shachat Shimon esaben. And then Shimon comes and he kills the child, the hisrubo, and he was warned, loka, he violated in Isser Doraisa. Okay? Umeyes Hashem haisas harazu. Right? That it's like a tag team. Reuven does the mother, Shimon does the child. So, niflesi beinenu. This is an amazing idea in our eyes. Sheish echa b'mei Yisrael, osa dovar hamutter behechlit. The first person does something which is totally mutter. He slaughtered the mother, right? It's totally mutter to kill the mother. V'alkol ha'eda, but now because Reuven killed the mother, now it's incumbent upon the entire Eda, ayidei ze iser lishchot b'osa yom esbana. Now because Reuven killed the mother, now all of Klai Yisrael now is prohibited from killing the child. V'im shachat v'hisrubo, again, and if Shimon does kill the child and he was warned, harihu loka, he gets malchus. It's amazing. The fact that Reuven did one thing, now the Isser D'oraisa is going to be incumbent on Shimon. U'malahem l'chol ish Yisrael u'shchita sel shel rishon. In other words, why am I concerned that Reuven killed the mother? She'yilku b'shvul ma'aseyu. I'm going to get malchus, Reuven, because of what you did? So davar zeh melamed osanu sheyesh ba'am Yisrael shaychus nifla'a ben reishis Yisrael. I think that's what he means. There's such a beautiful shaychus, a connection between all of Israel. L'chol Israel Yisrael u'lehefech. Between all of Israel and then all the specific members within Israel, between everybody. There's this incredible shaychut, this general connection. Ben haprata l'chlal, the connection between the specific person and the population, u'lehefech. Shaychut kazot, this type of connection, sheinena b'shar ha'umot. I don't know if you would say this thing exists in every nation. La'am ha-Torah, it exists for the nation of the Torah. Shekibel al-atzmahem as a tafkid liot mor l'goyim. You know, we have this sort of collective mission of being an or l'goyim, a mor l'goyim. So therefore, even though Shimon can say, well, I didn't kill the mother, but Shimon is responsible for this halacha of Avu b'no, or Ema b'no, and then the lesson for all of the world, neshama achas, the nation is one soul, klalit l'chol Yisrael, that is for everybody, rak hagufim nifradim, the people are different, but the soul is the same, so therefore has many ramifications, mikan shivan Yisrael, arevim zelaze klapi shmayim. So mikan hanetia be umas olam legalgal chet hayachich b'Yisrael al haklal kulo. You hear this? This is like Mayor de Blasio of last week, right? Not to dump on the mayor. He says that's why, you know, a person sees a Jew doing something. You know, you have 200 people come out to a funeral, so all of a sudden it's the netiya, it's the nature of the Musa Olam, legalgel chet hayochid, to say, well, the Jewish community, or all the Jews, right? Al haklal kula. Why do they do that? Because there's an implicit understanding of this idea of Kol Yisrael Revim Zel Zed, that it's like one neshama, it's one nation. If one person killed the mother, this leaves an impression, this has a hashlachot to every member of the nation, it's on everyone, everyone has to now hold themselves back to kill someone else. You should notice, I started underlying this Rav Sirotzkin, and then underline the entire thing. I got a little bit carried away. I thought it was such a beautiful, beautiful idea. Okay, so that's what we have for today. We have, again, as I mentioned, three reasons for the Isser of Avubno, the parent and the child. Behind that, those three reasons, is a fundamental machlokes about tamei hamitzvos, where the Rambam says that you look for a tam for every mitzvah, where the Ramban said it's enough just that it's a gzeira, that we know it's there to affect us. We saw the idea of Rav Yosef ibn Kaspi, the third reason for that. And lastly, this very beautiful Klai Yisrael Din from Rav Zalman Sirotzkin. We should always look in everything we do to act in a way that it's mitzaref et habriot. It refines us for ourselves, for our children, for our community. Everything we do has a tziruf, has a refining quality, which is demonstrated so beautifully by this sugya of Avu Beno. Okay, thank you everyone. Have a great day. Look forward to learning together later Jewish history, or tomorrow Halacha and Rav Kook. I look forward to continuing to learning over this time. I apologize. I said these shiurim are going to be 15-20 minutes.